chapter 12. Chapter 12 is one of those chapters that you might ask at first glance, why is it here? But obviously, anytime anything is in the Word of God, it's the plan and will of God, and there is a purpose or purposes of why it's there. We have a whole list of the kings that were defeated. Again, reminding the reader that these were real people. This is not some storybook, but these were real men, real kings who ruled real places, and they lost their lives under the hand of God Almighty mainly because of idolatry, among many other things. So the chapter lists the kings defeated by Moses before they entered into the promised land on the east side of the Jordan, and then lists also the kings that Israel defeated on the west side after crossing the Jordan. The last seven chapters that we've been looking at dealt with the wars involved in the conquest of Canaan. And certainly they would have been ready, and we are ready to read the statement of chapter 11 and verse number 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. It does not mean that there were no more battles. It means that the major victories had been won. The major areas had been secured. But there were still many skirmishes, many battles yet to fight. So let's go ahead and read the chapter. Be interesting to see who volunteers to read all the different kings and the places that they were. Anybody brave enough to do that? It doesn't look like they're too hard. Some are. Shemron Miron. Try to say that fast 10 times. All right, George, you want to start with the first eight? Sure. Who wants to take the next eight? All right, Bill, you take the next eight. Who wants to take the last eight? Anybody? All right, Baca. Go ahead, George. Start it out.
Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain on the east. Sihon the king of the Amorites who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, and from the plain to the sea of Chinneroth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jeshimoth, and from the south under Ashdoth Pishgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt in Ashtaroth and Ebrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon and in Salcah, and in all Bashan unto the border of the Jeshurites, and the
Maacathites. Isn't that a great name? Here, yeah. I'd like to live in Maacatha.
And half Gilead and the border of Sihon, the king of Heshbon. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Halak.
Halak,
that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions, in the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites.
The king of Jericho won the king of Ai, which is besides Bethel, one. The king of Jerusalem, one. The king of Hebron, one. The king of Jarmuth, one. The king of Lachish, one. The king of Eglon, one. The king of Gezer, one. The king of Debir, one. The king of Eder, one. The king of Horma, one. The king of Arad, one. The king of Libna, one. The king of Adullam, one. The king of Mahadah, one. The king of Bethel, one.
The king of Tapua, one. The king of Hefer, one. The king of Aphek, one. The king of Lasharon, one. The king of Madon, one. The king of Hazor, one. The king of Shimron Moron, one. The king of Akshaph, one. The king of one. The king of Megiddo, one. The king of Kadesh, one. The king of Jokneam of Carmel, one. The king of Dor in the coast of Dor, one. The king of the nations of Gilgal, one. The king of Tirzah, one. All the kings, 30 and one.
There you go. What do you think of that?
Whew, our parents were cruel.
And after each, the word one, again, emphasizing these were real men. All right, so a couple of facts concerning these wars. I'm not going to go back over them. They're pretty self-explanatory. Let me make some comments about them, and then some spiritual lessons we can learn, and we'll be through with Chapter 12. Number one, it helps to remind us of the origin of the wars. It helps to remind us of the origin of the wars. The origin of the wars was God. In chapter 5, when Joshua met the captain of the host, Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, we read, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And we brought out the fact that it's pretty obvious that Joshua wasn't a man of compromise. He wasn't a fence straddler. It was either or. You for us or against us? Remember what he said? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's coming up here in our study of Joshua. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Same instructions as were given out of the burning bush to Moses back in Exodus chapter 3. So God brought Israel to battle, and the reason, one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, was the idolatry of these foreign nations, to purge the land of idolatry before Israel took possession. Otherwise, they would have been tempted constantly to give in to idolatry. Ended up doing it anyway later, didn't they? That was their main downfall. So God gave them the victory to have a land to dwell in. Secondly, not only should we remember the origin of the wars, but also the agent of the wars was Israel. The agent of the wars was Israel. Joshua and the army of Israel were the conquerors. They were also the executioners. God had chosen Joshua. God had chosen the nation of Israel. And as they acted in obedience to God, that of course made their actions, no matter what they did, if they obeyed the word of God, they were holy in their actions. H-O-L-Y. Holy in their actions. Verse 15 again, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, chapter 5, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. The land and all that was needed for its conquest was holy, set apart by God. God had a purpose in all of this, and God used the Israelites to purge and to punish the idolaters in Canaan. Number three, the result of the war or the wars was rest. The result of the wars was rest. The wars were not the ultimate purpose of God. The ultimate purpose of God was rest. when the people finally conquered the land and they received their inheritance and they set up households in the land, God gave them rest. Kind of reminds us of the blessings that are ours in Christ. And we'll talk about that, some of the spiritual applications here in a second. There could have been no rest with the idolatrous peoples because if they were in their midst again, they would have been overcome, or could have been very easily, and were eventually overcome by idolatry. Chapter 11, verse 23 speaks negatively about this. Chapter 11, verse number 23, Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. That would be the negative. They rested from war. Positively, this was the rest of a dwelling place in a homeland of prosperity, both materialistically and spiritually. It was the rest of a dwelling place in a homeland of prosperity, both materially, I said materialistically, I guess that would work, materially and spiritually. Most of what God had told Joshua before the conquest stressed the positive, stressed the blessings, all the way back in the first chapter. Verses 2 through 9. Miss Betty, you want to read those? Chapter 1, 2 through 9, okay?
Chapter 1, 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of my life, of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
All right, thank you. So these verses stressed more than anything else the blessings that could be Joshua's and the people of Israel. And only briefly did God allude to the upcoming conflicts, which Miss Betty read in verse number 5. All right, so any questions or comments so far? Anything that... we need to discuss anything that you would like to. No, you're going to give me the silent treatment today. Yes, sir.
One of the things that I picked up on was the Lord's insistence upon us having rest, his people having rest. From the beginning of the creation, he stressed, work hard, rest. In battle, he stressed, do what I tell you to do, then rest. So rest is in for humans is critical, and I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that for the last 20, 30 years, maybe more, in America, as well as other places, we've neglected that part of it. I'm not saying it shouldn't be Sunday or Tuesday or what, but we've neglected that rest part.
Yeah, I agree. Certain aspects, some part of our nation, I think, has gone overboard with rest. You know, it's kind of like a, like the Bible says, latter days, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But I get your point. You know, probably the best application would be the fact that years ago stores were closed on Sunday. People rested, they worshiped. Sunday was important. Didn't have to be Sunday, but it was, because that was Resurrection Day. And so folks in the New Testament met on the first day of the week, so that kind of carried on through the centuries. But now that's lost, you know, that rest. Yes, sir.
Well, and what Fred was saying there, that rest includes not just the absence of doing something, it's the devotion and meditation on God and God's Word.
Absolutely. And we're going to get into some spiritual applications. We'll talk some about that. But yeah, that's critical. It's not just propping your feet up. Yes, sir.
I think that what you're saying is that for a period of, let's say, 40 years, 30 years, we have went 365 days a year, 24/7. We've had people work all the time. And now what we're seeing is a rebellion where they don't want to work at all. They want somebody to give them free money. But that's not my point. My point is what Bill was saying. We've got away from the time where we take a period of time and we devote that to studying, to make ourselves approved, to spiritual things that we need to keep us strong.
Amen.
And I think that's missing. It's gone.
Oh, absolutely. That's why we need revival.
Yeah.
We need revival. All right. Thank you, guys. Good points. So again, the blessings were stressed. Briefly, the Lord alluded to the upcoming conflicts, of course, that would come, and they did. But let's look at some spiritual, just major spiritual applications for Christian living that come from these truths that we just looked at. Number one, as Fred said, it rhymes, as Fred said. God wants us to enter into rest. Now, obviously, there is a spiritual meaning, because that's what it's talking about. When you enter into rest on a spiritual note, we're talking about entering into the rich environment of God's daily blessings. Spiritual rest is understanding that God is in control, that God loves us beyond what we could ever imagine. Now, we're talking to Christians, okay? And that God has a plan for our lives, which we'll talk about a little bit in the next hour. But God wants us to understand that there is no spiritual rest in the presence of various weights that the writer of the Hebrews talked about in sins. If we are engulfed in sin, if we are carrying around weights, the sin that so easily besets us, rather than casting that at the feet of the Lord and confessing and forsaking it, we cannot and will not enter into that rest. So sin must be dealt with and must be driven out. Otherwise, there is no rest. Ultimately, of course, we'll rest with the Lord in heaven, but we now, even in the midst of our daily living, you know, we're kind of in the promised land, but there are still battles and skirmishes, and ultimately there will be complete victory in Christ. Secondly, first, God wants us to enter into rest, prospering spiritually. Secondly, the life of blessing under God is not without conflict, because we are constantly faced with the enemies of the soul. Somebody tell me who the three enemies of the soul are. The devil himself? What about the world? What's the last one?
Self.
Yeah. The flesh. Three enemies of the soul are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And in my case, my biggest enemy is self, the flesh. But the battle is the Lord's, and we know that. And if we trust Him and rest in Him, draw our strength from Him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The Bible says greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We don't have to give in. Understanding, though, that victory doesn't come from self. Victory comes from God. What did God tell Joshua and the people of Israel over and over and over and over again? I'm going before you. The battle's already, the victory's already yours. Just claim it by faith and through obedience. Same message to us. The victory's already ours. We got to claim it by faith and through obedience. We are weak in ourselves, so by obedience to God and by believing in Him, God will fight for us, and God will drive out all of our enemies. Will He not? Yes, sir.
It just reminds us.
I see you grinning there.
No, it's silly. Like, how easy it all is, really, but we make it so hard, impossibly hard, and it's so easy.
It really works. The same with salvation.
Yeah.
There are people that battle and they, I got to do this. I got to work here. I got to get rid of this in my life. I can't get saved till this, till that, till the other. Make it so difficult. The hard work has been done by our Lord. He's the one that agonized on that cross and suffered immensely before He even was hung on the cross. He came into His own and His own received Him not. He was rejected by His own. And of course, He's the Creator God, so ultimately rejected by all. Number three, rest living for the Christian is partaking of Christ. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 14. Hebrews 3. Verse 14, for we are made, and by the way, it's actually past tense in the original language. For we have been made partakers of Christ. First and foremost, that's speaking of salvation, but it goes much deeper than that. So we are to partake of Him, but then we are also to look to Him, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the originator of our faith. All of the rest land blessings, all of the rest land blessings are only ours because of the suffering of our Savior. In the ultimate victory over death and the grave. Jesus has taken the land of promise for us by defeating Satan on the cross. The only victory that we have is because of Him. And the only Canaan blessings, the only rest we can have is because of Him. Because of Christ. So we're not living in the land of rest, then the problem is not our Lord, the problem is us. Would you agree with that? And we're only going to find it in Him. All right, any other questions or comments? All right, let me kind of do a pre-chapter 13 thing here real quick. Stopping up again. I think I've developed an allergy to the church. Oh, man. All right, the land now was to be allotted to the tribes for an inheritance, and this will cover chapter 13, verse 1, all the way through chapter 21, verse 45. The land was now to be allotted to the tribes for an inheritance. The word inheritance, you'll see, is used over 50 times in these nine chapters. The word inheritance is used over 50 times. Seems like maybe that would make it important. What do you think? They didn't win the land. They inherited the land. Just like for the child of God, we have much in Christ. Ephesians 1 lists a bunch of inheritances we have in Christ. A lot of people get confused, and you've heard me talk about it umpteen times because it's one of my spiritual pet peeves where some say, and anytime I read a devotional, before long I'm going to read one that says we were adopted. And we were, but not into the family of God. We were born into the family of God. I know you probably get sick of me saying that, but I have to occasionally let out steam because I keep reading where men of God constantly say we were adopted. The adoption has to do with rights, full privileges. We read about some of those privileges in Ephesians 1, what we have in Christ. We can't earn them any more than we earn salvation. Someone has said that when it comes to the land, the Lord owned it. They were just leasing it. Well, that's true for us, right? We can't take whatever property we quote unquote own, which far left radical leftist Marxists want to take property rights away, and the globalists want to steal our property. Oh, did you see where the new president of Argentina gave a speech at that, what is it, some kind of forum where all the world leaders come, all the elites come together? Yeah, the World Economic Forum, they talk about other, they want to take control of everything and they want to take property rights away from everybody in the world. And only the elites, the rich and the powerful, have the brains to be able to live, you know, to guide everybody else in the world. Well, this new leader, president of Argentina, got up and gave a speech. Man, did he let them have it. Talking about how Marxism never works. Socialism never has worked anywhere it's tried. All you got to do is come to Argentina and talk to our people, because he took over for a dictator. It was awesome. I loved it. And you saw the elites out in the audience squirming in their seats and making faces and turning white as a ghost. And he was the only one, the only leader from around the world that flew a commercial airline. You know, you got all these, like the John Kerry's that, you got to save the planet, it's going to take trillions. And he arrives in his big, you know, personal jet, private jet, and all that kind of hypocrisy. But anyway. So we're not going to take anything we quote-unquote own with us when we die. It's going to be left behind. We are only leasing it. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. It's all his. Anything good that we have in this world is because God has allowed us to have it. The Lord said that the land could not be sold permanently. Leviticus chapter 25, verse number 23. Well, if they were leasing, that would mean they'd have to pay rent. Wouldn't you agree with that? Well, the rent that they paid was worship. They were to worship God. Billy? Look like you have a thought pattern going. Yeah. And they still wouldn't be satisfied because they would still want to annihilate the Jews. So, you know, you could give them half of the land. It wouldn't make any difference. The people of Israel, again, they not only worship, but they were also to obey God. So that was their payment. That was their lease payment, their rent. They had agreed in Joshua 8, we read about the conditions of what some call the Palestinian covenant. Others say, no, that's not accurate. You can make up your own mind, study that out if you'd like. I'm not that concerned about it myself. But the rent, again, worship and obedience, they agreed to the blessings, but they also agreed to the cursings. We saw that at Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal in Joshua chapter 8. They had to make up their own minds. Would they obey and be blessed, or would they disobey and be cursed? God said they could continue to possess the land and enjoy it if they submitted to God's will and were obedient to Him. There were four main stages in the distribution of the land. Four main stages in the distribution of the land. Number one, and these, by the way, we can get out of this spiritual lessons for us today if we want to enjoy our inheritance in Christ. Spiritual lessons for us. The assignments were made at Gilgal. Number one, the assignments were made at Gilgal. Throughout the conquest, Gilgal was the center of operations. We read often of them going back to Gilgal, marching out of Gilgal. That was their home base. Joshua later moved the camp and the tabernacle to Shiloh. Chapter 18, verse number 1. And then the system for distributing the land is given in chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. I'm getting a little further than I intended to get. And these are the countries, and are the countries is in italics, which means it was inserted by the translators, and I don't know what ESV says. These are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. Well, what happened to the other two and a half tribes? Anybody remember? We just read about it today. Yes, sir. Other side of the Jordan. They had seen the fertile land that was good for their cattle. Went to Moses and said, hey, maybe we could get that land over there. Look at all that grazing property. And Moses said, if you agree to fight with the rest of the nation when we go and take the land, the Lord has given permission for you to use it. And they not only did what they said they would do by coming and fighting, they went first. All right, so again, Joshua relocated at Shiloh later, and then they changed the system. This is where we're going to stop, because I'm going to get in trouble and get started with something that's just going to make me have to go back and repeat a bunch of stuff next week. All right, so today is the 21st. January is almost over. Can you believe it? It'll be spring before you know it. Grass will start growing, got to mow the stuff, start sneezing. And got, I had something happen. I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday evening. I was eating some mini, if you haven't tried the mini tater tots, much better than full-size tater tots. Mini, they have small little Oreada came out with them. But anyway, I was eating those and some chicken. Tyson's frozen southern something chicken, not southern fried chicken, but something else. And it has sharp edges on it. You've got a real rough, crunchy outside. Really good. Well, I guess one of the corners of one of the pieces stabbed my cheek right there at the back of my back tooth in front. It didn't hit the tonsils, but I felt like it wasn't a horrible pain or anything, but it was uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden, I felt this sack. I never had this happen. I had this gigantic, remember the paddle that had the rubber ball and the rubber band and you'd smack it? The size of that ball, well, if you cut that in half, that was on the inside of my cheek filled with blood. You ever get one of those? Mm-hmm. Ever happen?
Yeah.
Scared the snot out of me. And of course it says don't pop it, let it go away itself. There's no way that thing was, I mean, it was all, man, I took a tissue and pushed that thing, filled a tissue with blood. I mean, there's a lot of blood in there. And so now it's just sore, but it's back to white and you can see it's good. It's like a layer of skin, like a blister, and it's gonna heal. Anybody else, you've had that?
I've had the blood blister.
Thing was huge.
I've never had
it. I thought, man, what in the world? And then I realized, oh yeah, I remember, I felt that stab, and then right after the stab, I felt it. I mean, it's like immediate. All of a sudden, there's this, I thought you might wanna hear that. Yeah. And I didn't eat anymore after that. I mean, it did stop me from finishing my plate of food. So I might have lost 2 ounces or something because of that. Pray for the church. Pray that God will really bless this coming year. We've got a couple of big days coming up. We're going to talk when we have our meeting in February. We're going to talk about whether we're going to have a meal when David comes or not. I don't know if we want to do that or not. If we do, hallelujah. If we don't, hallelujah, whatever. We'll talk about that. You can be thinking and praying about that. Pray for our nation. This year, I think it's going to be tough. I just do. I just, in my heart of hearts, I have no proof. But I think, everybody says, we haven't gone through a big recession and they're going to start cutting interest rates. It's going to be great. Everything's fantastic. In the meantime, our debt continues to increase millions of dollars a second. Trump is leading and the far left are absolutely going insane over that, and it's going to get worse. If that continues to be the case where he's leading and eventually becomes a nominee, the far left is going to go berserk. So pray for our nation. If God doesn't save us now, I don't think we're going to be saved. If this year we end up with the same administration, in my opinion, we're finished. It's over. Get ready. But I would highly recommend that you have 3 months of food ready and be prepared, flashlights, batteries, a radio that doesn't take batteries, one that you can wind up, you know what I'm talking about? I got a little, you can get them real cheap, like a shortwave type of thing, I guess it would be. Medications, different stuff. Just stock up, have Band-Aids, get ammo for your guns, because you don't know what's going to happen. And then on top of all that, I thought, well, that's bad enough. Then I see this little interview by Tucker Carlson, interviewed Dennis Quaid, the actor. Did you see that interview? He was talking about the Sun back in like 1870. The Sun, of course, you know, there's all kinds of explosions on the Sun and radiation and all. And well, back in 1870, whatever, the only thing we had was the telegraph. And some kind of storm up there, it's about a 100-year occurrence. It occurred and knocked out the whole telegraph system. The whole thing had to be redone. Now, let me ask you a question. If that would happen today, what do you think would happen? There would be no electricity, no phones, no cars wouldn't run because there'd be no gasoline. And those that have electric vehicles that feel so proud, there'd be no electricity to charge it. Everything would be shut completely down. In a very short period of time, 90% of the population would die. That is very real, a very real possibility. Do what?
People be jumping out of windows like they did back in the
Yes. Depression. So, just, I know that you'd only be buying a little time. It would take so long to rebuild all that. And they've known about this for a good while. And they just, most of the electric grids are owned by private. They're not government run. So, you know, just something to think and pray about. Yes, sir.
What they're comparing it to is the nuclear EMP, electromagnetic interference. But the sun can do that at such a magnitude that we just can't even comprehend.
Yeah. Just pray that we'll be facing the other direction when it happens.
Yeah.
It'll only be one hemisphere that'll get hit. That pray that we're facing the right way.
We're on the dark side.
There you go. Pray for Israel that God will give them a great sweeping victory and that we'll keep our noses out of it. That Biden will keep his rotting bag of oatmeal brain silent and not interfere. Pray for Ukraine that that thing will end. I don't know what they hope to accomplish on either side at this point. Pray for our troops in various parts of the Middle East that are in danger. Pray that God would stop Iran from any more nonsense. We had them down where they didn't have any money, they couldn't cause much trouble, and our current administration has enriched them again. Aren't we thankful for our administration that hates America? Pray for law enforcement, pray for our missionaries. Pray for Hope House here in town. Pray for Mark and his health situation. Mary's been doing pretty good. Talk to her this week. She's doing all right. Pray that she'll continue to have good health. Missy Nixon, Barbara Mason. Continue to pray for Mason. Pray for Brody. Haven't heard anything about the results of the test. Ross McNiffin was supposed to get home this week. Whether he did or not, I don't know. Pray for Judy Shade. Fred is here, of course, doing better. Still has a cough. Pray for Sherry. Sherry said that she's doing okay. Her car was buried, and she doesn't do well in this weather. Rhonda's mom, who had that serious fall, she must be one tough lady to survive 16 staples in her head. At her age, she fell down the steps, but she's doing. She was here Sunday. Rick Tutulo. His wife, this is a friend of a military friend from years past, Bill. His wife passed away on Tuesday. They were together in Misawa, Japan, back in the day. And Melissa Wiles has breast cancer. This is someone that works with Becca, correct? Not actually with, because you work from home. Same company, correct?
Yeah.
And she's the one that got Becca the job, kept hounding Becca. Becca, you got, because she worked part-time in Martin's. This Melissa did, for play money, you said, right? They could buy toys and stuff. And then she had this other job, and she said, Becca, you got it. You've got to. And Becca, you know, yeah. Finally, Becca had enough at Martin's, and she went. And boy, it's been a blessing, hasn't it? You've been there 5 years now, is that correct?
April will be 7.
7 years. Man.
It does.
Yep. Yeah, and it's proven to be a great company. So that's a hallelujah. Anybody have anyone you need to add this morning? Don't forget those traveling. Melissa. Kelly, Riley, Rhonda, and Annadale. Annadale tagged along. And so pray for their safety coming back. Let's stand together, take these requests to the Lord. I appreciate you coming out this morning. You could have stayed home. You could have said, you know what? I'm not going out in this stuff. And I could hardly blame you. But once we get through tonight, single digits tonight, 7 degrees is one forecast. Wind chill, of course, it'll be way below zero. But let's be thankful. Where my brother lives, it was in the mid-teens, below zero. Not wind chill, air temperature. So I'll take this. What do you think? Father, thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the rest that you give us in Christ and the victory you give us each and every day. We face obstacles and trials and problems, difficulties, Lord, many of which we have no control over. You are always there. You're always faithful. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You are a great God, a good God. Thank you that you're a sovereign God over the universe that you created. We pray, Father, for those who called out to you that have physical needs, that you would heal them as you see fit. We pray, Lord, that you would save our nation, forgive our sin, heal our land. Lord, we need a reformation. So, Lord, please intervene. Not that we're worthy, not that we deserve anything, but, Lord, we believe in your mercy and your grace, and we're calling upon you, Lord, to intervene for our nation, which has rapidly turned away from you and rejected you. So, Father, please turn us back to you as a people. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the coming hour as we look to your word, encourage our hearts, challenge our hearts, increase our faith and trust in you. Lord, protect those that are traveling, bring them back safely, and encourage those that are downtrodden this morning. And Lord, may we glorify you the way we live our lives. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Something I wanted to share real quick. You can go ahead and be seated if you'd like. Got this little flip chart from the North American Mission Board, and basically gives a name of a missionary or missionary couple, and then we're to pray for them Sunday, today through Saturday, and then we get somebody else next week. Well, today, if you want to write this down, you can. Dom, D-O-M, Dom and Megan Grotti, G-R-O-T-T-I, Grotti. He is a chaplain, U.S. Army chaplain. They're stationed down in Columbia, South Carolina, and they ask us to pray that the Lord would use them to disciple and share the gospel with soldiers and their families. So let me just bow quickly and pray for the Grottis. Lord, thank you for this couple, this family that has agreed to serve you in the capacity of being chaplains to our soldiers. We pray, Lord, you bless and use them, provide for them. And Lord, may many souls be saved and lives be changed. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll take 7 minutes and then we'll go ahead and get started.